If you have a baby or a medical emergency, you can take time off. You just might not get paid for it. A few states make private employers pay their workers for family or emergency leave. Washington is not one of them. That might be about to change, though. State legislators, Democratic and Republican, are sponsoring paid leave bills in Olympia. Republican Senator Joe Fain of Auburn, welcome to KUOW.
Well, thanks for having me.
This is the first time you've sponsored paid family leave in the legislature. Why now?
Well, I had a kid last year, and my wife and I have a great situation with family support and a lot of help and good jobs, and we're exhausted. So think about some of those families that haven't been as fortunate as I, and they need support, and families should be kept together at that very formative time in a new child's life, or at those important times when other family members are facing health problems or other family emergencies.
All the lobbying people have done in Olympia over the years, it got real for you when you had your own child?
It does get real when you've got your own family situation that you get to relate the whole issue to.
On the Democratic side, the sponsor of the Democrat version of paid family emergency leave said that when Washington voters passed initiatives for paid sick leave and higher minimum wage, that's when the Washington business community thought, maybe we can get a better paid family leave deal in the legislature than on a ballot. Do you think that played in?
I think in general you get more thoughtful legislation that takes into account all of the complexities of big issues like this when you are able to work it through the legislative process. Sometimes an initiative can be a real blunt instrument, but there's no question that the idea that there could be an initiative on this topic in the future certainly does provide some motivation to folks to look a little bit harder at this issue.
And you also had the city of Seattle possibly passing their own version. The theory I'd heard is that you could either say, well, Seattle's going to go farther than we want with paid family emergency leave, or just that we don't want to deal with a patchwork of it's the law in this city this way, in this place, someplace else, and that's a headache for businesses too.
The patchwork is a real problem for businesses. We've seen that on a lot of different issues, not just on the concept of paid family leave. And so having a state system does provide not only a large pool of individuals to be able to have a sustainable, basically, market for paid family leave to be paid out of. So there's that benefit. But also it provides predictability for both employers and employees about what kind of benefits they'll be receiving by being a part of this plan.
Well, let's talk about those benefits. There's a Republican version in the House, a Democratic version. What is the difference between the benefits and the pay level that you're offering versus the Democrats?
Well, there's been a lot of talk since both of those pieces of legislation were introduced. And in fact, the most recent paid family leave piece of legislation that was introduced was actually a bipartisan piece of legislation by myself and Senator Karen Kaiser from the Kent-Des Moines area. And that's basically a placeholder bill that if we're able to find common ground and we're able to get something done, then we'll be able to use that as a vehicle to send this thing to the governor's desk. But the primary differences and the discussion points that we've been having, some of them are obvious, some of them are a little bit more technical. How many weeks of benefit should be provided? What is the share of who pays into the system, employer versus employee? And what are the qualifying family situations that would allow someone to be able to participate and take benefit from that program? And also, how do we treat different employers of different sizes in how they pay into the system and the benefits that those employees can get? So those are all the moving pieces that we're trying to work through in addition to others that are a lot more technical, but certainly just as important.
One big difference that jumps out is you're suggesting 8 weeks of paid leave, and it gets phased in, but the Democratic version I saw is calling for 26 weeks of paid leave. That's quite a difference. Is that Democratic sponsor being too generous with the employer's benefits?
I think that there's a lot of conversation about where we go on that topic, and I think there's a lot of movement on both sides to find a balance that isn't too disruptive to the employer community, but at the same time provides employees the type of leave and predictability that they need, particularly at that important time when a new child's come into their life.
And as you say, we get into how much employees pay versus employers, and at what level of your salary can you leave? Over all of this is the fact that the legislature passed paid family leave a decade ago but never funded it, so it's not in effect. First of all, why did that happen?
Well, I think there's a lot of times in the legislature where people really, really like the idea of something, but they don't like having to do what's difficult. And what's always difficult is paying for it. And so we've seen a long history of legislation being put into law and being kicked out so that it doesn't take effect for years and years in the future, or it's not funded. And so we put the structure in place so that we can cut the ribbon and declare victory, but we don't do the necessary and the difficult work of actually funding that promise that we're making to the public. And those are really false promises. And that's why I've been pleased this year that the proposals that have been placed on the table have also come with a funding source, so that they aren't just empty rhetoric, but can be something that really can benefit people in the end.
So you think the state actually would fund paid family and emergency leave, even though the legislature hasn't figured out how to fund basic education? That's such a budget hole.
Well, we've got plans on both sides of the aisle and in both chambers that I think amply fund our McCleary obligations that are on the table right now. I have every expectation that that's going to happen. But the funds that are necessary to fund a paid family leave program wouldn't be coming from what we call the general fund. It would be similar to our unemployment insurance programs or our labor and industry programs, which are these separate accounts that are funded from the payments that are made by employers or employees that pay into the system. And so that's where the resources would come to help this system function, so that that they're not in conflict or in competition for funds from our schools.
Finally, as you said, there's negotiating moving pieces happening right now. How optimistic are you that some kind of paid family leave and emergency leave plan is going to pass in this session?
Well, I'm going to stay really optimistic. I've put a lot of time into this issue. I've been really appreciative of the level of interest from both the business community, the labor community, Democrats in the House and in the Senate, as well as some of my colleagues in the Senate as well. And so I'm going to stay optimistic and hope that we can get this done.
Republican Senator Joe Fain of Auburn, good to talk with you. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Bill.
Joe Fain of Auburn is working on a bill to require employers to pay workers who take family or sick leave. There's also a Democratic bill proposing paid family leave. And here in Seattle, City Council member Lorena Gonzalez wants a backup plan in case the state legislature doesn't pass paid leave. Today, she proposed giving employees, private employers, would have to pay 26 weeks of paid leave to bond with their child or care for a sick relative.